All right, we're going to have Al and Angie Burke come up, and I've known them quite a while, and Al is one of our healing journey testimonies too, and they'll give you all of the details of it. But they've had their daughter and son-in-law that have come through school. Matter of fact, they met in school and got married here, and we often call this Caris Bridal College because so many people get married who come here. But you know what? It's a great place to find a mate.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes, it is.
And so anyway, I'll let them give you their testimony. But I love Al and Angie. They've been a blessing. I've been to their home in Florida, and they are just awesome.
Thank you.
Love y'all.
Thank
so.
You. And love you too, Andrew.
Amen.
Am I on?
Well,
did they
you.
Turn
oh,
me on?
Yes, you're on. Good morning.
Am I working? You know, I was in a church where they wired me up. I was a visiting pastor, and he said, just turn it on and leave it on. We'll turn it off at the back. I said, okay. So they forgot to turn it off at the back, and I had to go to the bathroom. And there was a funny tinkling little noise that came over. And that was my first impression at that church. They never had me back.
You know, Nicole, I thank you for that testimony. So we ran out and got one of our books, God's Not Mad at You. Because this is a lot of, this stops your healing. When you are in guilt and condemnation and you think God is somehow ticked off at you, okay, then you can't receive because you feel you don't deserve it. So we want to give this book away. Matt, you here? Anyone? Here you go.
I just want to say one thing is very important.
Thank you.
Our books are so valuable, we don't give them away. But my wife said, you have to be nice like Andrew and Carrie, and we have to give away books. So you can buy them. They're in the back over there. This book, go ahead.
Yes. We have a table right back here. We have several different books available, and all the proceeds go to this wonderful ministry, AWM. So we're happy to do that. Now, Al's got this revelation he'd like to share.
This book is Walking by Faith into Prosperity, and this book is my life story on how I started out. My first tithe or giving ever was $20, and I was a nervous wreck to give away $20. Today, I give away way more than most people make. And you can do it too, and it starts with 20 bucks and believing for your prosperity. Where's Matt?
So, we're Al and Angie Burke, and when we arrived on Monday, I believe, or Sunday, that day we were married 47 years. We have three, yep. You got to give me a lot of credit.
What?
We have three children, three beautiful grandchildren, and we're glad to be here. We're glad not to be in Florida. That's where we live, because it is hot. Okay, and this is just such beautiful weather. But the day we arrived, we checked into our hotel room. We were very, very tired. It was like 11 p.m. our time. So, but we checked in, and I just couldn't wait to go to sleep. So I get into this bed, and they tell us at the front desk that they upgraded us without our knowing,
which we thought was
very nice. So we said, well, thank you. So we went, and I just went down in bed, and I just went down and down and down and down. And it was so soft. I actually saw the side of the mattress just come, and I couldn't move. And it took me three times to grab onto the end of that mattress to turn just a little bit, and then three more times. It was horrible. So then Al gets in bed, and...
So I get in the bed, and when I do, the bed was like caved in the middle, and when I did, I just rolled right into the middle of the bed.
Onto me.
Onto her. And what did you say?
And so I said, well, happy anniversary, Al, but not tonight.
But that...
I'm telling you.
That was nothing. They have heated toilet seats. And I never experienced anything like that before. And I want to tell you, the second you sit down, va-voom, you eliminate.
Oh, God. Sit down. Enough of that. See, he doesn't listen to me. I told him not to say that.
She has to keep me under control. She said, you have to be normal. I said, forget it. It doesn't happen with me.
We are actually going to talk about healing today. believe it or not. And, you know, I know you've heard about authority. You've heard about standing in faith and believing, and you believe and you believe and you continue to believe, and that's all well and good, and that's what we all should be doing. But then we realize nothing's working. What is the problem here? You know, I've prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I asked and I believed and I stood and I had other people praying and ministers praying and it's just not working. Well, today we thought it would be a good time to talk about maybe one of the blockages to healing. And it's the words of our mouth. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because I remember Kenneth Copeland said a long time ago, he said, the primary purpose of words is not for communication. It's to create. And so by your words, you are creating health or sickness. And we know that from Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat his fruit. And you know that word power translates, one of the words is direction. So death and life are in the power or the direction that you decide to take with your mouth. So you could have health or you could have sickness. And you're going to be surprised at the things that we say. And I remember years ago, I was in my North Carolina home and I was vacuuming. And I felt a tickle in my throat. And I thought to myself, oh, devil, you're not getting anywhere with this. And I'm vacuuming. And I'm thinking to myself, I've got the victory. I know what happened at the cross. And I'm vacuuming. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a done deal. And I laughed it off. The next day, I woke up totally sick. A full-blown sinus infection, ears, throat, nose, headache. And I went to the Lord and I said, well, what's up with this? I said, I knew in my heart when I was vacuuming, I knew the devil couldn't have me in this. I knew. I was thinking it, Lord. I was thinking it. And he said, that's your problem. You weren't speaking it. And I never spoke it out loud. I never took my authority. That's how powerful words are. And that's why God was showing me that. Your words are powerful and I need to hear them. And so I got, once that happened, and look, we all make mistakes, and there's no condemnation, but once that happened, I went back into my prayer closet, and I had it out with the enemy and with the symptoms, and what could have lasted 10 days normally does only lasted 2, and I got victory in that area. So when God does show you, and he's always trying to teach us, the Holy Spirit is always trying to teach us, so... You can go. Al's got some stuff to share, though.
One day, the Lord spoke this to me, and he said, Al, he said, this is God, cannot just say anything. You think God can do anything? He's sovereign. God is bound by his word. And he spoke this to me, and he said, Al, I can't just say anything. He said, if I got up in the morning... And I looked down on the earth, and I went, oh, man, I've had it with all those people down there. They're all crazy. Instantly, everybody on the earth would be crazy. God can't just say anything. He's got to be careful. And then what he said to me was, you just can't say anything. Now, you know, I'm a human being. So therefore, my son is a human being. He can't be anything else. If I'm a child of the Most High God, then I am a God-class kind of being. And God said, if he can't wake up in the morning and say everyone's crazy, you can't do it either. He said, you have to be careful what you say. You know, the Bible says God can't lie. And the reason why it says that is because if God said that ceiling is blue, that ceiling would change its color to obey his voice. It isn't that he can't lie, it's that whatever he says happens. And what we're going to be talking about here is how you created your own sickness and how you prevented it from getting healed, even though you're doing a whole lot of right things. You know, the Lord spoke this to me one day, that we have the book on prosperity, and that's what I like to teach on is prosperity. And on the, and I was doing everything right, and I was giving, but I wasn't speaking right. I would say things like, I'm overworked and underpaid.
And I would have to hear it all day. That wasn't good for me either. You don't know how you're affecting someone else, too, when you're speaking those words. No.
And the Lord spoke this to me, and he said, now this is for you. I cannot go past your words. He said, I can't go past what you say because you're like me and you're creating with your words and you're creating poverty with your words. I can't make no money. And he said, you just can't say anything. We create and keep ourselves sick with the words that we speak. And I'm going to explain that in a little bit, make it a little more understandable. But I've had people, I ask them, what's the number one way the devil has access to your life? And everybody says the same thing. And they say, oh, sin. That's not true. The number one way the devil has access to your life is you gave him permission by what you said. Oh, you're driving me crazy. You're driving me nuts. I just sick. You know, every year I come here, when I've come here, I always get altitude sickness. And one day I said to Andrew, I got altitude sickness. He said, there's no such thing. And it finally hit me. There's no such thing if I say there's no such thing. I got off that plane and the altitude hit me and I said, no, I will be perfect. I will go through this thing without a problem. And I have been fine since we got here, a little shaky once in a while, but I've been great. And I've had people come up to me, oh, I got to get out of here. I said, just don't talk like the altitude sickness is driving me crazy. Don't talk like that. So you got to understand.
Okay, so he wasn't.
I'm good at hogging the mic. So in Matthew 16 and 19, it says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And what that means is whatever you deny on earth, heaven will jump in and deny it with you. And whatever you allow on earth, heaven will allow it with you. That's why you can have faith, you can believe in God, you can go to the doctor, because when you go to the doctor, you're saying to that sickness, I deny your right to be here. You can take medicine because you're saying to that sickness, no. I would recommend you take God kind of medicine, get a cheerful heart. It's stronger than anything the world has. Yeah. But you've got, and you know what else? Jesus said this, after he said this, he said, if you're going to deny sickness, we'll send the angels down there to help you deny it, and you'll get well. But how do you allow it? I'm sick. I'm always sick. I got altitude sickness. I don't understand. I got acid reflux. You just allowed it.
You know, and I do agree with Andrew. Many Christians are sick. They get sick, they stay sick, and they die sick. And it is just not God's will. And if it's God's will and his desire for you to be well, and it's your will and your desire to be well, then you both are in agreement. I mean, that's a good start. And I say that because some people may not want to get well. They're very comfortable or used to being sick or whatever it might be. But anyway, that's a great start. To just come in agreement with God, and we're going to do this together. He is your cheerleader, and he wants to help you to get well.
And right before that, with the binding on earth and all that, he says this, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And that's the keys to how the kingdom works on earth. What you're going to allow in your life, you know what I allow? Lots of prosperity. I allow lots of healing in my life. I allow the goodness. The angels hearken to the voice or to the word of God. So start speaking the word of God and watch how, you know, every morning I get up and I say, my youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, I don't know, maybe eagles never get old. I don't really get that. But that's what I say. And I go to this like whole health doctor and they hook you up to this biofeedback machine. And he's working the machine and he looked at me and he said, I've never had this before, but according to this machine, you're getting younger.
I believe it.
Okay, go ahead.
I believe it. Well, you know, I want to tell you, you know, God rejoices when you speak right, because especially if you have something physical, and it's just constant. You know, pain. Pain is not good. I don't like pain. Okay? But you know, when we speak right, instead of saying I'm sick or I'm not feeling well or I've got this thing for a long time and I can't get rid of it, you need to combat those words with the word of God. If we're going to say something, why can't we say what's in God's word? Why do we have to say what we feel? Physically, we need to stick with the word of God. And you know what? God rejoices over it. When we speak words of truth, he rejoices, and I'm going to prove it to you. Proverbs 23, 15 to 16 says this, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself. Yes, my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. So now God loves us and he loves us, but he gets that extra pleasure when we speak right things. And why is that? It's because he knows a blessing is on its way to you because you're speaking correctly. You're speaking according to the word of God. Listen, when it comes to us, it's all about God, but when it comes to God, it's all about us. I mean, he loves us so much, and he just wants us walking in divine health. You can get healed, but that's already been done. Let me just tell you, the burden is on us. Okay? You cannot be a wimp and be a Christian. Okay? You cannot. It's not for wimps. Okay?
And it is a war. You are literally in a knockdown, drag-out, take-no-prisoners war, and the devil's constantly against you. And God's trying to always constantly build you back up.
That's right.
You know, go ahead.
I want to talk about kindling a little bit, because this is really important. And this is from the book of James, chapter 3, 5 and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little part of the body and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil. The tongue is among the parts of the body, defiling the whole body and setting the course of nature on fire, and it is set on fire by hell. That's strong. Now let me just explain this to you. We know we can't start a fire with a full-size log. We have to start it with little thin pieces of wood. Okay, very, very dried out wood. Same thing with leaves and sticks. They all have to be dried out. And so I'm going to give you just an everyday example of what could be happening in your life. And so you wake up one morning and you feel weak. You just know it when you're standing up. It's at that point you have to make a decision. At that point, the enemy is right there saying, you're weak. And he wants you to verbalize it. Okay? So you say, wow, I feel weak today. It doesn't feel right. That's taking that piece of little wood and just putting it over there. And 3 hours later, I think I need to take some vitamins. I am not feeling good at all. I can't shake this off. You're saying this to your husband, to your kids, whatever. Now you're taking those dried leaves and you're putting them over there. And then 3 hours later, you say, I have to take a nap. I have no strength. Okay? Because you're not getting better. And I wonder why. Okay? And now you're taking all more sticks, putting it there. And then the next morning, you feel like you can't even get out of bed. And so that's like taking a little lighter and starting that flame. That's kindling right there. Okay? Something's happening. Something's brewing. Okay? So then you say, I've got to call my girlfriend because she had this. I remember she had the same symptoms. Can you relate? The same symptoms just last year. I'm going to find out what she did. And so you get on the phone and you talk about it and you talk about it. And this happens.
And you got to go to Google.
Everybody's quiet, right? And you talk about it, and And you say, you know, I think I got to go to the doctor. I don't know. Something's really wrong. The enemy says, now's a good time. I think I'll take that log and throw it onto the fire.
You got
okay?
it now.
And now you have an out of control fire. Now you're down at the doctor's. They give you medication. You go home, take the medication. You're worse off than you were before because of the side effects. Okay? And it's all because we gave permission to the enemy to throw that log on that fire. We're doing it, not God.
Let me show you how this works. I was driving home at night one night, and you know, I was following like a tractor trailer, and you know, they have the lights all around them. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden, the lights are over here. And all of a sudden, they're over here. And I knew he wasn't going anywhere. And then those lights were up there, and it was a divided highway, the island. And I looked, and the island was gone. And I said to myself, uh-oh, I can't drive at night anymore. And my eyes would hurt. They just hurt. That's all I could tell you. And blurry, glasses, no glasses, didn't mean anything, blurry. Rather than say, come home and say, oh, I can't see anymore, I can't drive at night anymore. I said, my eyes are healed. Your first response is major. My eyes are healed. God's healing my eyes. And I would go like this and I'd lay hands on my eyes and say, my eyes are healed. I have perfect 20/20 vision. I don't have eye pain, and they're not blurry. 3 months later, I drive at night, means nothing. Glasses, no glasses, and my eyes never hurt. I still use, in fact, the glasses I use are weaker than the ones that I have, the ones I'm wearing now. And this is how this whole thing works. That, you know, I had a friend of mine, and he's trying to read something, and he goes, I can't see this. And I said, here. And he took my glasses and he goes, my eyes are shot. His eyes just went down 3 or 4 notches.
You don't realize it. You don't realize that that's taken effect.
You just can't say anything. Can't get that through your head.
You know, the last part of James did say it's just the whole course. Let me say it this way. It sets the whole course of the nature of your life on fire. And it's because you've given him permission. How many remember that game, Mother May I? When we were little, we used to play that. And you know, all the kids would line up there and then one child would be the mom. And she would say, Matthew, take 3 steps. And he would have to say, Mother, may I? And then she would say yes or no. Which I don't really understand that game, but anyway, okay. So the kid takes 3 steps. Okay, now if you didn't say "Mother, may I," then you would go to the back of the line, and you could never make it to being the next mom. Okay, but the devil is asking for your permission 24/7. Not only about your health, about everything in your life. He wants permission to get in, and the number one way I think we give it is through our words. Now, we want to share a testimony. And
You're hogging the mic, by the way.
We want to share a testimony that happened to Al. And it's not the first time I saved his life, by the way. What I really want to emphasize is the initial reaction to something that blindsides you.
Instant
react. That's where it starts. That's where, when he fell and broke his hip, the first thing he said on the floor was, I am healed. And when they called me at Panera Breads, and I was teaching You Already Got It to a bunch of women at that point, I closed up the book and I said, I heard that Al fell, let's pray. That was my first reaction. And we pray in faith. So that testimony is awesome. You can find it on Healing Journeys on the website. But I want to share this one because this happened about 5 years ago in North Carolina. I was on my way out to a Bible study in the morning, and I looked at my watch and I said, oh, I have 5 more minutes. So I think I'll just sit and wait. And that is totally out of character for me because I am everywhere early. Okay, this is the one thing you had to live with for 47 years. In fact, I like what Andrew says. He says, if you're 10 minutes early, you're late. That's the way I live my life, okay? So this was totally out of character.
I'm not like that.
This was no, he's not. I had to tell him to get dressed this morning. It was getting late. But anyway, so I sat down on the couch 5 minutes, and he's talking to his sister on the other couch, and all of a sudden I hear him start slurring and murmuring and just like couldn't speak. I looked up, and his right eye was almost closed. And he was trying to speak. He was on the phone with his sister, trying to talk, but mumbling. I threw my phone down. I ran over there. I took his phone out of the, I didn't even talk to the sister. I threw the phone, it landed in the fireplace, but it wasn't on, okay? And I said, what is happening to you? I mean, I was mad. He couldn't answer, he couldn't speak, okay? So this is what I did. I put him in a headlock. That's what I did. I went right like this. And I screamed in this ear, like I think my neighbors heard it. I spoke to the symptoms. First of all, I declared, God, we know this is not of you. I always declare that, because I want the enemy to know it's him. Okay? And I spoke to every symptom that I thought he was having and what was happening to him, and I rebuked the enemy and I rebuked the symptoms. And I wasn't even thinking, I was just taking my authority. And I did it for a long time, and I kept screaming in his ear. And then, I just remembered he was suffering from ringing in the ears at that time. And I go and I scream in his ear.
I was suffering from ringing in the ears, and I was rebuking it, and it was almost gone. And she's screaming in my ear, stay alive, and I'm going like...
He couldn't say anything, but Al...
Let me get my earmuffs.
But Al, I want you to share what you saw before I prayed for you.
I left my body, and when I was leaving my body... I saw the back of my eyeball. I saw all the veins and arteries and all of the nerves. It was really massive. I saw the inside of my skull. And when those things happen to you, you're not conscious of what's going on. You're just kind of like, what's happening? And I was leaving my body slowly. And when she came over and screamed in my ear, I went back into my body so fast. It was like a hit. It was like wham, it came back.
Of course, I didn't know this. I was still doing my thing. And then I released him, and I went and sat down on the other couch, and I said, do you know what's happening to you? And he couldn't answer. He couldn't speak. And I said, the devil is trying to bring a stroke on you and trying to kill you, and we are not going to let him. So I said, what we're going to do is we are going to worship God. And I put the speakers on, and he's sitting there like immobile. I put the speakers on in the house.
I was in no case to argue with anything. Whatever you want to do, do worship
fun. It wasn't. And I put the music, and we played Good, Good Father. It was about that time when that was very popular. And I worshiped God, and I praised God, and I wasn't even looking at Al. I mean, I was just, I wasn't concerned. I just knew what to do. And Al couldn't sing, he couldn't speak or anything. So after the song was over, I stood up and I said, now look, if you want me to take you to a hospital, you just let me know. I'm not going to Bible study. That I didn't do. But I went in the kitchen and I didn't talk to him. And I was very calm, very peaceful, right? And he gets up to walk to the bedroom and he's staggering and walking, banging against walls and staircases and... And I said, Al, hold on a minute. And I made a call to Pastor Bobby Ray, who is a healing evangelist. He's with Jesus now. We loved him dearly. And all I said was this, Pastor Bobby, Al is not feeling well. Would you pray? That's all I told that man. And he said, I see blood vessels opening right now as we speak.
Amen.
And I said, thank you very much. Not surprised. Thank you very much. I hung up the phone, and Al came out dressed, and so I said, do you want to go to the hospital? He shook his head, yes. But you know why we went? And do you know why he went? Because I know him. Al didn't go to the hospital to find out what was wrong. He went to the hospital to find out what was right. Because I'm telling you right now, we go expecting what we want. Okay, and I know what he was thinking. And we got him to the first hospital. And they said, we got to send you to another hospital. And we got him in the ambulance. And they said, Angie, you follow the ambulance. Because I didn't know where I was. I was in Charlotte, but I wasn't familiar with the area. You follow the ambulance. So I'm waiting for the ambulance to come. And four of them come out. I said, now, which one do I follow? I didn't know where he was. But thank the Lord, I followed the right one. And we got to the second hospital. I know. They gave him an MRI. And he was believing the whole time. Normally, they come back right away with an answer. That's what they told us. And he had to wait all night long because they were, by the time we got to the second hospital, he was able to speak again. Okay? And he was actually making jokes again. God help us. And he was doing all of that.
I was joking about the doctor because he didn't know anything.
We knew how that test was going to come back. And sure enough, the next morning, the doctor walked in and says, well, you have a little bit of high blood pressure. He said, so we're going to put you on some blood pressure medication, but you never had a stroke at all. You had, we can't find anything.
They couldn't
Which
find
we
anything
knew.
Wrong.
We
they couldn't
knew.
Find anything wrong. You know,
so,
go ahead.
So Al took the blood pressure medicine and said what I would say, I'm not taking you for the rest of my life. Okay, right away we say that, okay? He took it for 3 months, all the while asking God to show him a better way, and the Lord did, a natural way. We're not going to share what it is, it doesn't matter. It's just that he stopped that medication, and then 6 months later he went back just to show the doctor, and his blood pressure's been fine ever since, and he's had up and down. But your first response is crucial. This is what I'm trying to tell you because Dr. Caroline Leaf, she puts it this way. You're in a, when something happens, you come into what they call a superposition. It's a position where you have to make a decision at that very moment. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Barry Bennett last night, I loved it. When he got that terrible news that it's all over, he never said a word. He stayed in peace and listened for the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, that's the initial response, and that's what we all should be doing.
Now, let me explain something that God showed me one day, and they've talked about it here. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. God showed this to me one day, and he said, if you are always speaking death, I cannot heal you because it makes the Bible untrue. You could speak death and you could be, and you get healed. He said, I can't heal you.
That's good.
He cannot go past your words. And I was like, what, God, you can't do this? He said, no. If you're constantly speaking about your sickness and you've got all of the notes and you know every possible thing about your sickness and you're talking about it and talking about your sickness, agreeing with it, he said, I can't heal you because if I did a miracle and healed you, it makes the Bible untrue. Now, you can come up to the prayer ministers and God can work through them. But he said, you're out. You're done. And I want to tell you something. This is what people have said to me. It does not say death and life is in the power of the tongue only if you believe it. It doesn't say that. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. All you have to do is start speaking life. Now, here's the problem that everybody has. They don't understand when they're speaking these death words, they're not necessarily sin. So they never repent of it. What are you talking? Like I was talking to somebody on the phone, and he goes, it blows my mind how good God is, and he hung up. Those are idle words, and every idle word you've got to be judged. How is God going to heal him when he said, my mind is blown?
And you know, if you say that one time, you probably say it all the time. You
and
know,
the devil's writing it down. And God's not against you. He will not do that to you. But you keep speaking it and speaking it and speaking it, and the devil's going to keep an account. And when the opportune time hits, you're done. He's going to take you out by what you said. You have authority over your life. No one else.
Right.
You have the authority. And you're speaking death, expecting God to violate the scripture and heal you.
And you know, when I was yelling in his ear and taking authority and everything, when I would tell people this testimony, it was phenomenal. One person said to me, "But Angie, did you really believe it when you were speaking it?" I didn't have time.
Tell them about the 911.
I didn't have time for anything. I mean, I didn't say, "Well, do I believe what I'm saying? Do I believe what I'm saying?" You know why? It is now my default. It never used to be, okay? But now that's what I default to. It's because I've renewed my mind to the Word of God over the years. I know it's rightfully mine, and I know when the enemy attacks. I mean, we're not perfect at it, but I can see it, and I understand it, and I go after it, okay? So that question, of course I believe it, but I didn't have time to think. It's a nice place to be. When all you can do is react with God's word, it's a great place to be rather than, "Oh no, what's happening to me? What am I going to do?"
Get this in your head about the words you speak. You don't have to believe it. You know, Abraham Lincoln said, "When this war's over, I'll be dead." Elvis Presley said, "I'll never live a day longer than my mom did." You know, John Lennon was asked one day, "How do you think you're going to die?" And he said, "I'll probably be popped off by some loony guy." That's British, by the way. An American would say, "I'll probably be shot by some crazy man." And the guy who shot him, Chris Chapman, said his God told him, which was the devil, "He's mine," meaning John Lennon. He said, "He's mine and I want him now." And he pulled the trigger. Be careful what you say. This whole thing about idle words, it says every idle word will be judged. Well, who's judging this thing? God's not going to judge you. The devil's looking at it. And let me put it this way. It says on the day of judgment, you could say, I know a lot of people, so many people say, "When I die and I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to ask the God this and I'm going to ask all these different questions." And they're going to get there and they're going to say, why did I never get healed?" And God's going to say, "That's what you spoke.
Yeah.
You brought this judgment, not me. I'm here to heal you. It's what I want. And all you spoke was death, death, death. And then one day you died. That's why you never got healed." Now, here's the problem that I was talking about. The words are not necessarily sinful. If you said, "I have cancer," what you have to do, and I've seen so many people get healed, it's just like a light goes off and they're free. You have to call a crop failure into all your words, all your death speaking that you've done from day one. And most of it is what the world puts on you. The world drops it out there. You know, this whole thing, the person that said, "Yeah, God blew my mind." All of that, "God blew my mind," all of that freaked out, came out of the 1960s drug culture. Before that, no one ever said that. So now you're speaking what the drug culture speaks over your life when you say you blew my mind. You just can't say anything. And learn that. I want you to, we could do it now, but I want you to understand you got to call in a crop failure to what you said and start speaking life. You don't have to even believe it. You have to speak it.
That'll help you to believe it. The more you're renewing mind, because faith comes by hearing. So you will hear it, and it will create that. You know, you have a right to be healed. Why would you speak otherwise and embrace what God says you don't have to have? You know, we're in the middle of writing a book on physical healing, and Al came up with a great title, and I think it's awesome because it's very easy to understand. Why be sick when you don't have to? Because it's on us. Jesus made the provision 2,000 years ago. He brought healing. He healed. Now, it's not his problem. It's like asking him to do something he already did.
Let me just, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I only got 14 minutes left, and I have about 14 hours in me. So I'm kind of a spiritual guy. I've been to heaven and back. And after the second time, God did something wilder than that. He gave me Adam's body before the fall for a short while. And there was like a nuclear power source that would just come up in me. And this was wild. You could do anything. You had perfect peace, perfect intelligence. You could sleep or not sleep. You could eat or not eat. I could walk from here back to Florida because if I got hot and sweaty, I would just say, body, be clean and energized. And instantly it would be clean and your clothes would be clean. And it was the way, and God said this to me because I said, Lord, what is this? And he said, that was the way I originally designed everybody. That was the way it was supposed to work. But he said, because of Adam, we know all of that. And he said, so anyway, this went on for a while and it just sort of went away. And I said, Lord, where did this go? And he said, didn't go anywhere. You still have it. You still have it. And he said, I had to turn the power down on you because you would have killed yourself with this. Because the minute you said something, it would happen. I remember going like this. There was a sunspot saying, sunspot, I command you, healed. And before you could finish the sentence, it was gone. Today, I got to say it 1,000 times and maybe it'll go. And it was responding so quickly. And the Lord said, you're going to kill yourself with this. Did you ever say, oh, that was so funny, you're killing me. Did you ever say, oh, you're driving me crazy?
That stuff matters. It really matters. This is the stuff you don't think matters. Oh, I don't believe it. But the devil hears it and keeps a record.
So one day, okay. I had learned this, and my heart started pounding. And I was like, ba-boom, ba-boom. And I was like having a heart attack. And now, mind you, be careful what you say, right? So I said to her, pray for me, my heart is going.
You didn't say it that way. You were very calm. You were very calm.
And what did you do? So she comes running over to me.
Yeah.
She goes running over to me, and I'm like, huh. She goes, heart, stop.
I did. And he's like this.
I'm going, no.
That time I was going to kill him.
The Lord said, you'd kill yourself with this. Oh, my mind is blown. Instantly, it'd be over. And he said, if you can get rid of those careless words you speak, and if you can clean up your everyday speech life, I could turn the volume up on you. God's intent originally was for you to speak to the mountain, to speak to it and be instantly healed, and then go heal other people. Instead, I spend weeks and days speaking to it to try to get well. And it's crazy because I know there's a better way and I can't seem to get back there, except the Lord said this to me. Change your everyday speech life. Don't say things like, oh, we didn't get much done today, but tomorrow we're going to give it hell.
Do you know Greg Moore passed me by this morning and he said to me, give it heaven today. And that man gets it. You know, why can't we speak like that? I appreciated that because it fit right in to... And Audrey Mack, when the Lord told her in the middle of the night, there is cancer in your body, she did not say, I have cancer.
It's a foreigner. It's an invader.
Right.
It might be there, but you don't own it. It's not yours. You don't have... Don't say, I have cancer.
That's right.
And that's not necessarily a sin. This is what I'm trying to say. So you're never going to repent of it. You got to repent. You got to call in this crop failure. And I want you to do that today. If we have time,
we
I'm down
do
in
that.
9 minutes.
We will do that. You know, there's a young man that attends our church, Revive Church in Stuart, Florida, and he's on the football team. A great family. And talk about first responses. He got hit at practice and became unresponsive. So the family gets a call from the coach, which is never a good thing, okay? And the coach says, we can't get him to respond, you know, so we're transporting him to wherever. You know what they did? I'm sure their heart was pounding out of their chest at that moment. Mom and Dad and the two or three other children sat down and had communion first.
This is awesome.
Do you see your first response is so crucial because it sets the stage for the rest of the process. Okay? And so what happened was, then they went to the hospital. He got a terrible diagnosis. He was suffering from seizures. He was numb here. He was numb in his feet. And five doctors came into this kid's room. This boy is 16 years old. And they literally pronounced death over him. They said, you'll probably have this the rest of your life. You're going to have seizures the rest of your life. You will be on anti-seizure medication for the rest of your life. And he got up. Do you ever see those movies where the dead person just sits up? It's like, that's what he got up, and he looked at those five doctors, and he said, get out.
Yay.
Get out.
What is he, 16?
He was 16. One by one, they turned around quietly with their heads down and just walked out. And then he got alone with the Lord. And the parents, in the meantime, said, you know, I'm not keeping my son in a hospital that pronounces death over him. So they transferred him to Miami Children's Hospital. And they did all the tests again. They compared the tests. The doctors came in and said, there is nothing wrong with you. What you know, I'm telling you, they said, you're not even having seizures. Your body is just reacting to the trauma. And they said, and once he heard that, the feelings came back in his feet, in his hands. He never had another seizure episode. It wasn't really a seizure. He never had anything. And 3 days after that second hospital, he walked out. And today he had a MRI recently for only football players. They have a special one that they give. And he's perfectly healthy, back on the field now. But here's my point. Their first response set the stage. And I don't believe that 16-year-old would have done what he did if the parents didn't set the stage. He might have. But I mean, the end result was awesome. So that's what we want to get into you today, that don't waste time. Don't spend 3 days crying and telling everybody and then come to your senses. You know, you wasted 3 days, you know?
Well, not only that, when you start that, it becomes a stronghold. The minute you start that, now you got a monster to get rid of. It has to be a first response.
That's right. And you know, he might come here to college next year.
Yeah, we're trying to get him here.
He would. We're going to come out and visit and see what he thinks. But he's excited and he loves the Lord. But that's a 16-year-old young man did that. Okay, first response is crucial. Why don't you tell him about Clancy right now?
You've been hogging the mic the whole morning. Just so you know, I got so much stuff here, I didn't get anything. I want to tell you about my friend Clancy. Clancy lives in New York. And he says, hey, Al, I don't stop for red lights anymore. Yeah, it's stupid. Okay. So the one time this is a true story. The one time he stops for a red light, he gets rear-ended. Bad. And it was in a pickup, and the back windshield went through his head and cut him all up. He was a mess. So obviously they take him to the hospital, and he's all bound up and everything, and they do blood work and all those kind of things when they go to the hospital. And when they were releasing him, he was in that little room sitting on the table, and two doctors walked in, and you know, they come in, you know how they do, serious. And they said, Mr. Clancy, according to the blood work we did on you, you have cancer. So you got to know Clancy. Clancy sat there and he went like this, cancer! I don't even know what that is. And he got up and he walked out, and that was 15 years ago, and he's still smoking, he's still drinking, and he's still going through red lights.
And we still love him. Was his first response.
He didn't even know. It's just Clancy was too stupid to get cancer.
Never. No, he's not really. We love you, Clancy.
You'd be on your phone. What are the treatments? Oh, you wouldn't even leave that room without tons of medicine. He walked, I'm telling you the truth, it was 15 years ago. And there's a,
yep.
Clancy, you could write a book on Clancy, real easy.
Well, you know, look,
that was his first response.
Yes, we gave you this information today to help you, not to condemn you, not to make you feel ashamed, not to say, oh, how am I going to clear this up? We're going to call it crop failure. Because words are seeds, and you planted those seeds in your heart, and you're speaking them, and you need to have a crop failure. I watch Little House on the Prairie once in a while, you know, and they, believe me, they counted on good weather, and they would plant those seeds and wait for those crops, and then if they had a devastating storm, their harvest was blown. Of course, they all blamed it on God. That's one thing I don't like about that show. But anyway, they did.
I want to lead you right now. You don't
That's
have to
right.
get up, okay? But I want you to agree with me. Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
I have spoken a lot of negative words over my life. I've had a lot of bad first responses. I am calling in a crop failure to every death word I ever spoke over my body. And I'm calling on you to remove it from me. I am free. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Yes. Amen. You know, that's all it takes, a change of mind, a change of heart. Thank you so much. Thank you, Andrew.
And that's some powerful stuff you shared.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You need to watch his healing testimony.
That's right.
It's on our website.
Yes, it is. Thank
really,
you so
really
much.
Good.
Thank
and
you.
You guys are awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.